The Siena College Research Institute has been around since 1980. We have been doing the current incarnation of the Siena College poll since 2005. And we do statewide polling virtually every month, polling New Yorkers on their views on elected officials, candidates, issues, what they want to see government do. And then we also do pre-election political polling. This year, our biggest year ever for doing that, we did 7 different congressional races in New York. We did the statewide campaigns 3 times. We did the Democratic primary 2 times. And in partnership with the New York Times Upshot, this year, Siena and the New York Times did polling in more than 60 congressional districts in 27 states in the United States between Labor Day and Election Day.
So when you say you did these polls, what is this? Is this when somebody gives you a call, identifies themselves as with Siena, and asks, what kind of questions do they ask?
Well, earlier on in the cycle, we were asking more issue questions as well as the quote-unquote horse race question. But in those final weeks, the final 2-3 weeks leading up to Election Day, we wanted to be able to do polls in as many different congressional districts as possible, as close to the election as possible. So we really limited the size of those polls down to, in various congressional races, favorable, unfavorable about the 2 candidates. A horse race question, who are you voting for if Election Day were today? Which party do you want to see control the House come November, after November? And do you approve or disapprove of the job that Donald Trump is doing as President of the United States? That was it. And then some demographic questions, age, gender, income, things like that.
Why is polling important?
I don't necessarily say that it's important. We can have elections without having polls leading up to election. But I think polls are a public service. What it does is it provides the public with an understanding of the world they live in. Sure, so we can tell people Cuomo's leading Molinaro or Katko is leading Bolter. But it's also about telling people what their neighbors and what their fellow New Yorkers think on issues from abortion to the American flag to Medicaid to environmental issues to criminal justice issues to budget issues. Over the course of the last 15 years at Siena, in terms of our polls of New York State voters, I think we've probably asked in excess of 200-300 different issue questions. And we report that so people know. I will often hear when I tell people one of the things that I do for a living is that I do polling, people will say to me, you know, I don't understand. The polls are all wrong. Everybody I know hates Andrew Cuomo, yet you guys have him up in the polls. Well, more so than ever, we live in silos. You only listen to and interact with people who believe what you believe. You know, either you're a Fox News watcher or you're an MSNBC news watcher. There are very few people.
Or you're a WLOC listener.
Exactly. But there are very few people who routinely watch both Fox and MSNBC. We've become siloed. So people, you know, interact with, talk politics with people who feel like they do. So this is an opportunity to explain to New Yorkers, gee, I know everyone you know feels this way about issue X, but you know what? You're all in the minority because the majority of New Yorkers feel this way.
I think polling got a very bad rap after the 2016 election. How did pollsters do this time around?
I want to take back and challenge the premise of the question because pollsters did get a bad rap. You're exactly right, but I think they got an unfair rap. Why? If you look at the final national polls that came out the weekend before Election Day in 2016, ABC, Gallup, NBC Wall Street Journal, there were probably 4 or 5 polls that came out in the final 3 or 4 days of the 2016 campaign, national polls, that all had Hillary Clinton winning by 1, 2, or 3 points. Well, you know what? They were all right. Hillary Clinton won the national popular vote by 2 points. So those polls were all accurate. The problem was, and shame on the pollsters for this, they didn't pay attention to the right states. There were no late polling going on in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan. Everybody, all the pollsters, all the pundits, all the talking heads were focused on Florida and Ohio. I think the pollsters missed a little bit in terms of the states they were polling. Had they been polling Wisconsin and Michigan, we may have known that Hillary Clinton's so-called electoral lock was not, in fact, locked at all. It really wasn't the polling that got it so wrong. And this year, I would say, Siena had a great year. I mean, I think pollsters in general had a good year, but there were so many close elections. I mean, I'll give you an example here in New York. In New York 19, our final poll, completed the Sunday before Election Day, had Delgado up by a point. You know what? Delgado won by a point. I think we got that one dead on right. Our final poll in New York 22, completed the Sunday before Election Day, had Tenney up by 1 point. Well, it now looks like Brindisi is going to win by a little less than a point. Did we get that one right? I would say we did. I mean, yes, we said the wrong candidate, but we were within a point and a half of the final vote margin, and we did say it was going to be close.
I'm talking to Steve Greenberg from Siena College Research Institute about polling and the recent midterm elections. Can understanding the polls help a get-out-the-vote effort?
You know, it's a great question. It's a double-edged sword. I think our final polls, and I'll use New York 19 and 22 again as examples, I think our final polls there should have said to both campaigns, the two Republican campaigns and the two Democratic campaigns, something that they already knew, but reinforcing, this is close. We need to get out every vote we can. So I think it helps the campaigns to say, okay, people, the polls are close. We need your support. And I think it tells voters, you know, look, we complain that our vote doesn't matter sometimes. Oh, you know, I live in New York. How I vote doesn't matter. It's such a Democratic state, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I've heard that complaint from New Yorkers. But when we tell you this race is really close, you have no excuse. So hopefully it does incentivize people to say, huh, there's that old cliche, every vote counts. I'm going to go see if my vote counts. I'm going to go vote today because this is a close election. The flip side of that is, we've heard complaints over the years, you know, if we come out and say candidate X is leading candidate Y by 20 points, that we're disincenting people to come out and vote. Because, oh, what's the reason? Why do I have to go bother? You know, they're up by 20 and that's not my candidate. Polling should help inform you. It should not make decisions for you, whether who to vote for or whether or not to vote.
The top line after the midterms was that the House is now controlled by the Democrats at the federal level. But here in New York, there are some other takeaways from the midterms. What are some of the big ones?
Certainly the biggest is the state Senate flip. You know, the Republicans have controlled the state Senate for all but 2 years in the last 60. The Democrats are going to take control for the first time in a decade, and we'll see what they do with it. But they didn't have a victory on Election Day. They had a huge victory on Election Day. They flipped 8 Republican seats. So we go from having a 32-31 Republican Senate to now a 39-40-23 Democratic Senate. So the Democrats have a huge advantage there. The other big takeaway for me this Election Day was there was a blue wave. Now, there was no national blue wave, but there was clearly a blue wave in New York. How do I know that? 4 years ago, the turnout in the midterm election was 36%. 36%. Nearly 2 out of every 3 registered voters, didn't vote in New York. The turnout 4 years before that, in 2010, was 45%. I was really hoping we were going to get close to that again, that we were going to bounce back up from 36 to 45. We topped 50. The turnout in New York was the best it's been in a midterm election in at least a decade. More than half of registered voters in New York actually turned out and voted. New York City, in an average midterm election, accounts for maybe 28, 29, 30% of the statewide electorate. This year, New York City accounted for 34%. That may not sound like a lot, but given how overwhelmingly Democrat New York City is, that makes a huge difference in terms of the statewide turnout. And so we saw Democrats coming out to vote in midterm elections this year, unlike what we saw 4 years ago or even 8 years ago.
So what's the result for New York? What are we looking at now when these elected officials take office in January?
Well, we're going to have the same governor and lieutenant governor. We're going to have a new attorney general, the same controller. We reelected our junior senator. But it's interesting. I look at this. We have four statewide elected officials, a governor, a lieutenant governor, a controller, attorney general. We have two United States senators. We have two legislative leaders, a speaker in the assembly, a majority leader in the state senate. Come January, of those eight elected officials, those leaders of New York, four of them will be men, four of them will be women. Three of them will be black, five of them will be white. Three of them will be from New York City, three of them will be from the downstate suburbs, two of them will be from upstate. I would say the elected leadership of New York State is starting to look a little bit more like the population of New York State. And to me, that's one of the bright spots coming out of this election.